Okay.
Good.
Okay, so we'll do the Rishima Shurim, the Rav Shurim on the Sechta Sukkah, and we're starting on page Hay in the Sefer Shimos. So the first thing he's discussing here is the Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi on the Mishnah writes, Shechamsa Meruba Mitzalasa Hashem Haschach Kriya Sukkah. It says in the Mishnah that if there's more sunlight than shade in the Sukkah, it's possible. And Rashi says something. He says the Schach, the word Schach, is the source of the word Sukkah. The Torah says you sit in a Sukkah, so where does the word Sukkah come from? It comes from Schach. Schach means a covering. So the roof, which is covering the Sukkah, and of course we know the roof has special rules. It has to be vegetation, it has to go from the ground. You can't take bricks, let's say. So Rashi says that the word Sukkah is derived from the word Schach. Varav Tzvichim Bir. These words need explanation because Rashi's in Chumash, he spends time explaining the grammar of words, but in Gemara he usually doesn't explain the grammar of words. And so there's a Chumash word. In the Chumash he could say the word Sukkah comes from Schach. But why would he say this in the Gemara? So there must be more to this than just a piece of grammar. That's what the Rav says. We know that a sukkah has to have, based on that first Mishnah, we know sukkah has to have proper schach, proper covering, right? And let's say more shade and from vegetation. And it also has to have walls. The Mishnah says that the sukkah has to have three walls. So we call those walls mechitzos. What is really the cheftza of the sukkah? What is really the item which we call a sukkah? Is the sukkah really the roof plus the walls? Maybe the roof is a real cheftza, the real item which is the sukkah. And the walls are only a condition to make the schach kosher. But really, the real sukkah is only the schach. So we know we need three walls, but are those walls really become part and parcel of the real sukkah, what you call the cheftza of the mitzvah? Or are they just a tnai to make the schach kosher, and the schach is the cheftza of the mitzvah? Bar Rashi levaya, sheh cheftza shel ha-sukkah hu ha-schach. Rashi is explaining that the real cheftza of the mitzvah is the schach. The mechitzos are not part of that cheftza of the mitzvah of sukkah. Rashi says the same thing later on. Sukkah is the schach. Rashi says it very clearly later on the page. What is the real item called the sukkah? Who has chach? Bilvad, only the schach. Hamachitzos, the walls, machshirot et haschach. They make the schach kosher. Ach einon chelik me'etzem achefta shel mitzvah. They're not the real cheftza of the mitzvah. Okay, we'll soon get to see what this abstract idea has in a practical halacha. Okay, so he's claiming that from Rashi's language, both twice on the page, base of Medalev, where he seems to define the sukkah schach, he means it to the exclusion of the walls. The walls are necessary, but they're not the real cheftza of the mitzvah. The real is just the schach. Acheresi das Rambam. The Rambam has a different perspective. Dine itala kaman daftet, omer av sheshes meshum rebe kiva, Menayin la'atzei sukkah, she'asurim kol shiva, tamad lo machak ha'sukkot shiva somim la'shem, v'san yabudu ben b'seva omer, k'shem shachal shem shemayim ala chagiga, kach chal Shem Shemayim al Sukkah Shenema Chag Hasukot. More later on says a very startling and new halacha from the Pasuk Kedashins that there's a kedusha of a carbon which gets into the sukkah. It says Chag Hasukot is Tasa Chag Hasukot Shivas Yomim Lashem. It's a very spiritual pasuk. The Chag Hasukot is for Hashem. So the Gemara says it's almost like a carbon. So carbon chagiga has Shem Shemayim, it's dedicated to Hashem. The sukkah itself is dedicated to Hashem. That means according to the Torah, the Gemara says, you can't use the sukkah for any profane, secular purpose. It has to be used only for the mitzvah. If you use it for something else, you violate this prohibition of Shem Shemayim from the Torah. Because of a Rambam, the Perek Vav from Sukkah, Locha Tez Vav Zel Hashomo, Atzei Sukkah, Asurim Kol Shmonis Me'achag, Bein Atzei Defanot, Bein Atzei Schach. He says the wood of the Sukkah is prohibited for 8 days. That includes the wood of the walls or the wood of the Schach. A Rambam Posek, the Rambam decides, Shachal Shem Shemayim, that Kedusha of the Shemayim takes effect Gam al mechitzas hasukkah, kemo shachal al schach hasukkah. It takes effect on the walls of the sukkah, just like on the schach of the sukkah. Arei shehu sover, shegam hamechitzos, hein hachefta shel sukkah, kemo haschach shelo kerashi. The Rambam is putting the kedusha of the sukkah, not just in the schach, he's putting it into the walls. So you see from the Rambam that he considers the walls part and parcel of the real chefta of the mitzvah. Ulam harosh, however, the Rosh, Cholik Ashita Surambam, Bezel Shano, Vahaida Siri Atse Hasukkah, Nadavka Haschach, Aval Atse Hatfanos, Mishre Shori, the Cholmaida Dashina, Machag Hasukkah, Sahin Udavka Beschach, Kidlakam, and Gabi Pselis Gern Vyekev, the Loka Rambam, Shitato, Shirak Al Haschach, Hal Shem Shemaim, Avaloa Ladafanot, Dalibe Kufa Hefta Shal Hasukkah, Huaschach Ubad. The Rosh disagrees. He says that Shem Shemayim, that Kedusha, is only in the Tzchach. It doesn't apply to the walls. So if you use the walls for a profane purpose, you're not violating that prohibition of the Torah. So obviously he defines the Chefs of the Sukkah as the Tzchach. The walls just make the Tzchach kosher. So it's like the Rashi. The Rambam feels that the Sukkah is the walls plus the Tzchach. Therefore he has the Kedusha of the Sukkah in the walls as well as in the Tzchach. According to the Rosh, it's only in the Schach, not in the walls. Okay, Yotze Mekach, so it turns out, Sharam and Varosh, Pligi B'Yisodo Shal Rashi. They argue about Rashi's principle. Rambam Sovar Shagam Mechitzos HaSukkah Nechshavos Meguf HaChefza Shal HaSukkah. The Rambam feels that the walls are part of the Chefza of the Sukkah. The Fikha Posek Shekashem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al HaSchach Kach chal shem shemayim ala mechitzos. Meidach harosh, maskim im Rashi, v'sova she'etzem hachefza shal hasukkah hu haschach kuvad, ha-mechitzos rak machshiva oses haschach, aval ein chelek meguf hachefza shal ha-mitzvah, v'chein posek harosh, shal ha-mechitzos, leka chalo shem shemayim, rak al guf hachefza shal hasukkah haschach, chol ha-chalo shem shemayim. Okay, so the Rosh and the Rambam are arguing about this idea. According to the Rosh, the Sukkah is just Schach, with the Tanai that the walls are the proper walls to make that Schach kosher. But I'm doing the mitzvah only basically with the Schach. That's where the Shem Shemayim is, that's where the Kedush is. And according to the Rambam, the walls become part and parcel of the Sukkah, and the Shem Shemayim is in the walls also. Yes?
But the Rambam has to say that assuming that the schach has somewhat of a higher level than the walls, right?
Yeah, the Rosh is arguing. He says we find a lot of dinim about the schach, that vegetation has to have a certain amount of shade. The walls seem to be regular walls that you find in other places, like Shabbos has to have walls to make a Rosh Hashayachid. The Gemara doesn't spell out so many dinim about the walls, even though really. And what we learned yesterday, the Gemara does spell out that the walls have to be less than 20 tefachim, less than 20 amos. But the Torah's has special focus maybe on the schach, but according to the Rambam, that doesn't negate the fact that the walls are just as important as the schach in the mitzvah. Doing the mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah with the walls. They're the chefs of the mitzvah, just like the schach. That's why they get the kiddush. Once they get the kiddush of the sukkah, they're basically the integral part of what the mitzvah is all about. Okay. Now he wants to go into another very interesting question. So we dealt with the schach and the walls. Now he wants to talk about the question of the floor of the sukkah. Does the floor of the sukkah become part of the mitzvah of the sukkah? Now, this rule of the kedusha, that there's a kedusha in the sukkah, so the discussion of Rambam and the Rosh is again, the walls are just the schach, but no one has said that the floor of the sukkah has kedusha. So you could use the floor of a sukkah for some profane purpose, and you wouldn't, on sukkahs, you wouldn't violate any prohibition. If you use the schach for a profane purpose, or the walls maybe, you would violate that special prohibition of kedusha sukkah. Shem Shemaim, it's called. But not on the floor. So the floor is a problem. Is the floor part of the sukkah according to the Rambam or not? So he says like this, V'nei besugyo l'kamon, Gemara later on, Amad Aleph, Dana ha-Gemara, the Gemara has a discussion, Kiyem hapsul de gazul v'kaka gazul. Is there a prohibition, or is there a psul, is there a disqualification? Someone would steal the kaka of the sukkah. He goes into someone else's sukkah, throws him out. So basically, what's he stealing? Stealing the land, the walls. The walls are attached to the ground. So he is now stolen. Now he sits there. Now, there's a question of mitzvah bar baver. If you steal something and you do a mitzvah with it, you're not yotze. You steal a lulav and a nesrik, you're not yotze. It's absurd. But the Gemara has a very interesting point. The Gemara says, in order to say that the mitzvah habor baver is possible, the item you use for the mitzvah has to be stolen. Not that you stole something else and you somehow got to do the mitzvah. Right? Let's say you needed a ticket to get into the sukkah. So you stole someone's ticket, you got into the sukkah, and you ate. So you would be yotzei because you didn't steal the sukkah, you stole the ticket to get into the sukkah. You have to steal the thing you do the mitzvah with. So you're stealing a lulav and a nesrig, or you steal tefillin, steal the matzah. The thing you do the mitzvah, you call the chefza of the mitzvah, that item you do the mitzvah with, if that's stolen, then it's a mitzvah bar baveri. Now that's principle number one. Principle number two is that there's a question about if kark of land can ever be considered stolen, because the land doesn't move, legally belongs to the owner, but someone is squatting in the land, he doesn't let the owner come in. So okay, he's not letting the owner use his land, but can you say that the land was stolen because the land hasn't really left the owner's property? If he steals a car and drives away, so the car is lost, so that's stolen. The car is stolen. But is the land really stolen? That's a discussion in the Gemara. Do we say karka nixelles or karka ein nixelles? If someone is squatting on someone else's land, did he really steal the land? It's nixelles, or did he? The land itself is not stolen, even though maybe he did an aveira of stealing or bothering somebody, kicking him over his land, but he didn't really make stolen land. So the Gemara has a very important chiddush here, that if someone would steal a sukkah which was attached to the land, so it has a status of land, it didn't move it, it's in the same place. If I say kaka nixelles and the thief sits there, he would violate mitzvah habor baveir. He's using something stolen. But if kaka not nixelles, if he can't really steal land, he'll be yotzei the mitzvah. This thief will be yotzei the mitzvah because he didn't really make the item stolen. So that's what the Gemara says. So let's read it inside. In the besugya l'kaman dana gemara, the Gemara has a discussion. Kiyem hapsul to gozul v'kaka sukka gzula. Talui ikaka nixelles only not nixelles. Pasuk Rambam shesuka gezula kasheva mishum shekaka ainu nixelles. Zalashono suka shula kasheva kain gezula kasheva. Case in talk of achaveh vatzion misukato v'gazla v'yashuba yatsa sheina kaka nixelles. Okay. It's kosher because kark is not nixelus. Now, omnam, now there's another point that he's making here, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. Chalot hapsul shel gozel b'mitzvahs al pidin. When do I say a stolen cheftzov is possible for a mitzvah with the din of mitzvah above aveva? Tliya b'chalot shem cheftzov shel mitzvah. It has to be that you stole the item you do the mitzvah with, not you stole a ticket to get in someplace. You stole the lulav. You stole the tefillin. And there's a proof of a very famous Rambam. Kedemuchach memasha kostuf a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shofar, Shofar gazul shetagapo yotze. If you stole a shofar and you blow in it, you yotze. Sheina mitzvah ella b'shmiyas hakol. The mitzvah is to hear the sound. Half a pea, Shlonogabo, Bio, Hashemeya Yotza, ain't we called Din Geza? Let's say someone steals a shofar and he blows the shofar. Now, why is he doing the mitzvah with? Is he doing the mitzvah with the shofar or with the sound of the shofar?
You can't have one without the other.
Right.
So, should
he would have said, he would have said you're doing it with both, and if it's stolen, the shofar, then it's possible. It's above our bed. But the Rambam says it's kosher. Because he's making a very fine distinction. He's saying that he doesn't think you're doing the mitzvah with the shofar. You're doing the mitzvah with the sound of the shofar. You're listening to the sound. The sound you made, you didn't steal that guy's sound. So you're doing a mitzvah with something which wasn't stolen. You stole something which enabled you to make the sound. It's like stealing the ticket to get into the sukkah. But you didn't really steal the cheftza, which you do the mitzvah with. The cheftza is the sound that wasn't stolen. The enabler, the tnai, we call this a tnai, a condition to get to the mitzvah was stolen. Or what you call a hechsher, something which gets you ready to do the mitzvah, the shofar was stolen. That he says is kosher for the mitzvah. At the end of the day, if he did it, he gets the mitzvah. Yes?
So let's say in a very unusual case, theoretical case, where there's only one shofar in the whole town. Let's say a shofar is very expensive, and the person, for whatever reason, he's charging people to listen to the shofar. So he's excluding the product from other people. Now he doesn't have his hands on the shofar itself, but he comes secretly by. He goes past the guards and he listens to the sound of the shofar. So did he steal the sound of the shofar?
That probably also not. Because I think stealing means you take it in your hands and you move it someplace, but listening is not cool
so,
to say.
So if that's the case, that by that logic, he took and moved the shofar to make use of its sound. So perhaps we should then say
he took the shofar and blew it himself. That the Rambam says, if you steal the shofar, it would be okay because he didn't steal the sound. You can't really steal the sound of a shofar. You can only steal the shofar, but the shofar is a step removed from the mitzvah. It's not the real chef of the mitzvah. It's a very fine point he makes here.
So even though he moved it, he took it and moved it.
Right, he doesn't have to, since so it's sort of like an irrelevant action. According to the Rambam. Okay. So he explains this Rambam here inside. He says the Chori Pole, it's a very astounding Rambam. Okay, the mitzvah is to listen to the sound. But still, Chefza shall shofar. Okay, you have to have a proper shofar. A shofar machshes a mitzvah. The shofar makes the mitzvah happen. Lo mein lo din gezel. Why shouldn't it become possible from stealing? Be a zikna shalmar and shlita hagon yabchaim advist. The Rambam sover. The Rambam apparently feels shaf b'shiyesh din shofar shema'akavis a mitzvah. Even though we grant that a shofar is necessary, zeh mishum the shofar machshes a mitzvah. The shofar taka enables one to do the mitzvah ram, but still a cheftza shel hamitzvah atzmo, the item that you're actually doing the real mitzvah, ain hashofar el hakol, it's the sound. He listens to the sound. Hadin shel mitzvah bo ba'avei l'chav l'psul dafka b'cheftza shel hamitzvah atzmo. You have to get that gezeila in the actual cheftza, which is the mitzvah itself, the core of the mitzvah. So the sound of the shofar is the item with which you do the mitzvah. Hashofar ain't the ela machshir hamitzvah. The shofar only enables you to do the mitzvah. Lo chal psul gezel the mitzvah's hashofar. You wouldn't say there's a gezel by the shofar. Kivan shebetzim hakol like a din gezel kemahuv ramah, because the shofar itself or the sound itself was not stolen. Okay. Well, the fees there, based upon this idea that you have to pinpoint exactly what is the chefza with which you're doing the mitzvah, and then you can discuss if that's stolen, and that makes it possible. The fees there, yesh la'ayin b'sukkah. Now you have to discuss sukkah. The name there, it seems, da'afilu l'rambam, shesover, shehatfanos, imaschach, mashvos, even if you say the Rambam feels that the walls plus the schach are the true, actual item with which you do the mitzvah of the sukkah, we come welcome karka, but the ground ain't a be'etzem achefta shel sukkah. It doesn't seem that the ground is really at the core item of the sukkah. Keep a sukkah ain't then karka klal. It doesn't seem there's any rule in sukkah about ground. You don't find any discussion any place in the Masechta. What kind of ground? How is the ground? It's just been taken for granted. So it doesn't seem that the ground is really part of the sukkah. Rav Sheyesh Din Karka B'Shur Shabbos. On Shabbos, I say B'Shur Sarab, B'Shur Sayochid, you do have to have ground. Mekomok Moshe Grach of Nargon Moshe Shabbos Sukkah Ein Din Karka Klav. The Prime of Bris told the Rav's father of Moshe that there is no din of land or ground in the sukkah. Nirakadova Pasha, it seems very simple. The Chavot Hashem Shemayim the sukkah, the rule of the Kedusha of the sukkah, the Shem Shemayim, ain't a chava klal ala karka. Never, ever, ever as applies to the ground. The ain't a hachefta shala sukkah. That's not really the sukkah. The most you can say is, we're on page Vav Amidvei, page Vav. The most you can say is that the sukkah is the schach and the walls. But there's nothing and no indication whatsoever that the ground is part and parcel of the core cheftza of the sukkah. And Kain Yipon, therefore there's a very big problem in Ma'achat Eina Kaka Mesin Chefza Shala Sukkah, the Eina HaChefza Shala Mitzvah, since the ground is not part of the sukkah, Madua Sokka Daitach Lipsul, Matam Mitzvah Bor Bavei. Why did Gemara discuss a Mitzvah Bor Bavei when he stole it? It's only because we say that the land cannot be stolen. You have to discuss something which is the real core item of the mitzvah. Not every single thing which helps you, enables you to do the mitzvah, as we see by shofar. Maishna shofar shein bo psul gezel, mitzvah bo ba'veira, Mekarka Sukkah. The name of the Karka Nixelis, Yesh Chalos Psul, the Mitzvah Bar, Bar Veira, the Mitzvah Sasukkah. So that's the question. Tzorchim doesn't have an answer. Why did the Gemara discuss stealing the land when the land is not at all part and parcel of the Cheftza of the Sukkah? It doesn't make a difference if it's stolen or not. It's like the shofar could be really stolen and you can get the mitzvah. It's a very simple answer to this question. If you look at the Rambam when he brings it down, the Rambam doesn't just say the guy stole the land. What? He stole the sukkah which was attached to the land. So he stole the schach and the walls. Because the guy was in his sukkah and he forced him out. That's how the Rambam describes the case. So maybe the Rambam himself wanted to make sure that we don't fall into this problem of the land. Forget about the land. The walls are attached to the land. And the walls, according to the Rambam, are part of the sukkah. And the fellow stole the whole sukkah. So he stole the walls and the schach. And they're all part, in a certain way, they're part of the land because they become attached to the land. Nail them down to the land. So maybe you'll nail the walls to the ground and then you nail the schach to the walls. So at the end of the day, it's one structure attached to the ground, and the mechubal lekarka kekarka. Someone attached to the ground gets the rule of ground, and that's why the Gemara has a discussion. If it's stolen, it should be pasul. And an exel is its kosher. So that's a very simple answer to this question. I don't really know why the Rav didn't give this simple answer. Yeah.
So the walls enable the schach. The floor enables the walls, which enable the schach. Hence, you're stealing that which enables it.
You're stealing everything because it's all attached together.
So what did the Rav say?
The Rav didn't learn like that. The Rav learned that somehow the walls and the schach were not really attached to the ground, which could happen. You could build the sukkah without attachment to the ground then. So really he only stole the ground.
So in such a case...
And then he has a problem. Why would you even think that there's a problem of a gezel? Because the ground is not part of a sukkah.
In other words, the sukkah...
The problem.
So the sukkah was constructed perhaps elsewhere, or was constructed in such a manner where it does not rely on the ground.
It's not attached.
So if so, he says it's not considered stealing the sukkah if you stole the property.
So then the Gemara says stealing the property is not going to be a problem because you can't steal land.
But is he excluded from the sukkah?
No.
The owner is excluded from the sukkah.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. Then he could. It depends how it works. In other words, you don't know what the case is exactly.
Did I steal the deed or did I steal
the land? Did he steal the land and then build his own sukkah? Then he didn't really steal the sukkah, he just stole the land. Or did he steal land with a pre-existing sukkah on it? Then he stole everything.
Right.
It's not clear in the Gemara what he did.
Because if
the Rambam says it was a pre-existing sukkah. So you give us a solution to the question. The question is, you have to say it was attached to the ground, because it wasn't attached to the ground. He stole a movable item. Movable items are stolen and they become puzzle. The Gemara says in this case it's not puzzle, but it's not a movable item.
Because it was attached to the ground.
Right, so it was attached to the ground. So the Rav's question doesn't really start. His question is, if ground is not part of the sukkah, why are you worrying about stealing it? But the answer is he stole an attached sukkah, was attached to the ground. So that he is a traveler, because the sukkah is the real chetz of the mitzvah, and that was stolen. And you have to say, attached to the ground does not get stolen. So really,
it's almost
now that I'm
discussion.
Learning that, I would have, if I had a chance to rewrite it, I would have put this answer in a footnote. But
perhaps it raises a different question, which we discussed in a case where it's not attached to the ground.
Not attached.
And that raises a whole big issue, because
right.
If I'm excluding you, if I'm using your property, I'm diminishing its value perhaps. Because there's discussion and stealing.
Yeah, but remember, it said that mitzvah habah ba'aveir was stealing and then using it for mitzvah is a very fine, very, very sensitive, finely defined psul. You have to steal the real chefts of the mitzvah and make it guzzle. If it's guzzle, then you can't use it for your mitzvah. You can't use a stolen lulav. You can't use a stolen matzah. But,
so
we're not talking about people losing money. Yeah, there's plenty of losses of money when someone can steal someone else's land. And it is a sort of aveir of stealing, but mm-hmm. It's not that the land is technically, halachically considered lost or stolen because it didn't move any place. So basically, it's still where it ever was. So in that technical sense, land was not... The owner had losses from a thief, but even though the actual land itself cannot be considered stolen.
So this then, it's a case that where the owner himself is not excluded from the sukkah then?
No, he wasn't excluded.
So if he's excluded...
It was used by the thief. The question is when the thief sat in the sukkah, was he yoked something?
So it's a case of exclusion.
Yeah.
I was not able to get my mitzvah because you excluded me.
Right.
So how can... So it's mitzvah b'aveira. You're excluding me from mitzvah.
Necessarily not, as we said. Mitzvah b'aveira has to be defined that the chefetz you do the mitzvah with was stolen. It's not a sentimental issue that someone got a mitzvah and made someone else lose a mitzvah. That's not the psul.
But if the whole holiday I could not enter because you would not let
okay,
me come in.
So it's an aveira, but it doesn't make the mitzvah done by the thief pasul.
I see. But what if, could we then say that the land enabled him to build the sukkah?
Right.
So therefore, But even if it's not attached.
The whole thing from the shofar is that the Rambam believes that the only time stolen is puzzle is not through enabling, because then the stolen shofar should also make it puzzle. It's only if the real mitzvah is done exactly with this chefetzah. Enabling is not a psilut mitzvah, but it has to be the chefetzah of the mitzvah, like the sound, or the schach, or the lulav, or the tefillin, or the matzah. Just enabling is not going to make something possible for the thief.
So how do we understand the rough?
The rough has a problem with the grammar, but I said if you look at the Rambam, it's not really such a question, because the Rambam is not talking about just stealing land and then building a sukkah on it. The Rambam is talking about a case where he stole an attached sukkah to the land.
So there's no question.
So there's no question, and then it's fine. Okay.
It's a pretty straight up answer.
What?
It's a pretty
very simple straight
glaring
answer.
Glaring in your face when you're reading.
Right. It's glaring in your face. So I'm a little surprised.
No, in hindsight we could say that, but it took us, we had to arrive at that answer. So.
It's true, we have to look for the answer, but once you see it, it's very clear.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm a little bit confused about this whole thing. I mean, it's a Gemara and Lamed Aleph. Take a look at the Gemara, maybe a little bit different than the Rambam. Let me see here, Lamed Aleph. No, the Rambam is the Gemara is talking about the same case as the Rambam, that he took us an attached sukkah and he threw the guy out and stole everything. He stole the land and the sukkah. The Gemara is talking about an attached sukkah. It's a mamish the case of the Rambam, so I don't know why. The Rav didn't just give this very simple answer. Okay.
Ravi?
Yes.
But there's still difficulty in my mind, because if the whole holiday I couldn't do my mitzvah because you were in there, then we can't just leave it at that. Something has to happen.
It's an avera.
There is an avera of preventing someone from doing the mitzvah. There's no question that the thief gets that sin. There's no question that the thief is a bad guy. Maybe he'll be puzzled to be a witness because we consider him a rasha. But it doesn't mean that he loses his mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, even though it was stolen. It's a shock. I'm not saying it's not a shock when you learn it. It is a shock, but there's a whole schematic to explain that, because it didn't. The land itself, or the attached sukkah to the land, doesn't get the status of a stolen property. There was an act of stealing which made the person, the victim, suffer, and that's an avera, no question. But the land never moved any place. It's still sitting there, theoretically, in the original owner's property. So it's not an exelus, doesn't create a psul. Psul has to be, the psul of mitzvah bar avera requires two elements. First of all, that the gzela is in the very item you do the mitzvah with, not something which enables, but it has to be in the very item of the mitzvah. And second of all, that item must really be stolen. If it's immovable, it doesn't move because it's land or attached to land, it doesn't ever get really stolen.
There's no idea of mitzvah bar avera from any other avera, aside from stealing?
According to the way the Rav interprets the Rambam. We go through, it's written up later on in the Sefer about it as a whole discussion, but he claims that the Rambam is very limited in his mitzvah bar avera concept. He does say that other Rishonim disagree, other Rishonim like Tosfos say that any avera, even in enabling you to get to do a mitzvah, would cause a mitzvah bar avera. So if you stole the shofar, it would be pasul. Or he would say you stole the ticket to get into the sukkah, it would be pasul. But he says the Rambam is very narrow. He's very, very, very limited. Only stolen and only stolen, and only the item itself, which is the real heft of the core mitzvah, has to be really stolen. This Gemara sort of supports the Rambam, this Gemara about a stolen sukkah. It says, if Kark is not nixelas, he's Yotze, the mitzvah, the thief, because he never made the land really stolen. The act of stealing enabled him, otherwise he wouldn't be there unless he did the sin of stealing. But, and you can't say it's not a avera to steal land. It's a big avera to steal land, but somehow technically the land, it's an avera to steal it, but it does not make the land halachically stolen.
So is there any theft going on here?
There is an avera of gazela, using the language of the risk, the rav. There's an avera of gazela for the gavra, but it's not an avera of gazela in the heftza. When you steal land, the gavra, the thief, that person is doing an avera of gazela, but he never created a heftza, which is gozel. And that's a very important, you know, that's a big chiddush, that you can have an avera as a person of gazela, even though you never really made the item stolen. It's a maisa gazela without a heftza of gazela. And the ramifications are here by mitzvah bar avera, that it will be kosher for the mitzvah, it won't be possible, because that doesn't work as a function of the avera of the gavra. That works as a function of the avera and the heftza. Mitzvah bar avera, you have to apply it to the heftza of the mitzvah, not to the gavra who did the mitzvah. All of this is it makes us think about things in a different way of looking at it. But that's what he says, the Rav. And he finds the Rambam very consistent in this regard, starting with the Rambam of Shofar, but he has a problem here with the Karka of a Sukkah, but we solve that problem. It's not really a problem.
Yeah. If you're okay with it,
would you
can
stop
with
here.
This, no, I'm
oh, summarize.
It, like structure it, just because I don't have it in my head.
Yeah, let's structure. Go over the whole thing again. It's on the top, okay? You want to sketch it on the board? Make it
anywhere.
Okay. So, basically, the Rav is discussing. Basic question, what is the heftza of the mitzvah of the sukkah? What is the ikar item with the sukkah? Now, a sukkah, you would think, is a simple thing. It has schach, it has walls, it has ground. So you would say, well, the sukkah is three items. Make a sukkah, ground, walls, and a roof. But he's pointing out that that's not necessarily so. First of all, he has this Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, focuses only on the roof, on the schach. He says the schach is the sukkah, or the sukkah is the schach. So that's a very important point. So it means that anything else, the land or the walls, according to Rashi, just enable you to get the kosher schach, and the kosher schach is what you're doing the mitzvah with. So then he has a Rambam and a Rosh who seem to argue about this question, because there's a halacha later on that there's a Shem Shamayim, which is Chal in the Sukkah. There's a special Kedusha of the Torah in the Sukkah. If someone misuses a Sukkah, he violates a Nisa Torah like he's misusing a sacrifice. Shem Chachal Shem Shamayim. Al HaGiga Chachal Shem Shamayim. Al Sukkah is one of the most strict averos and mitzvahs that we have, because it doesn't apply to many other mitzvahs. Let's say Matzah. Guy will take a piece of matzah and throw it out and give it to the birds. He doesn't violate any special avera. So there'll be another matzah, but if he takes even one twig of the roof of the sukkah on sukkahs and he uses it, I don't know, to make a little fire, so he'll violate the Nisa of the Torah, of disgracing Shem Shemayim, disgracing something which has Kedusha. So Sukkah is a very strict thing. So where does that Kedusha go? So according to the Rambam, it's in the Schach and it's in the walls, not in the ground. He says it clearly that you can't misuse even a small piece of wood from the walls. And the Rosh says it's only in the schach, but the walls are okay. There's no prohibition of misusing the walls from the Torah. So he wants to say, the Rav, that this is, they're arguing about Rashi's point. And Rashi defined the sukkah as the schach. The Rosh accepted that, and he said that Shem Shemayim is only on the schach. And Rambam expanded it to the walls. He disagreed with Rashi.
Oh, he disagrees with Rashi.
That's how the Rav did it. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a realization, but I think it might be a realization. We're talking for a moment, you know, we're talking about property, right? Theft of property, but we have to keep in mind that we're talking about hektish here. So if we just established that the schach, the shade really is the mitzvah, right? The schach enables the shade. And the walls enable the schach, which enables the shade, and the karka enables the walls, etc. You're stealing the shade. It's hektish. The shade itself is hektish. You're not. It's Isser B'Shima.
Okay, right. Yeah.
So there's a theft going on here. The mitzvah itself is puzzle, in my opinion, because it's the shade itself is hektish, and you had no right to come in and steal hektish.
Oh, I don't know about that, because the hektish seems to be only in something real that you can touch, like the schach, the wood of the schach, or the walls, or maybe you're right about the land, but the shade, even though I do agree with you that you're doing the mitzvah with the shade, but the shade doesn't have any what you call mamash, it doesn't have any physical, it's not a physical item, so the kedusha doesn't go into the shade. Even by real hektish, let's say, by the Beis HaMikdash, and the walls of the Beis HaMikdash are giving shade, there's no kedusha in the shade. It's just too, it doesn't have enough physicality to get kedusha. Kedusha has to go into something really physical.
So
that you
can't, it's a physical use of hektish that
right.
Gets you the avera.
Exactly. Okay, so we got to this point. Now if you want to have a whole discussion about the floor, because he says the schach is a machlokas, schach everybody agrees is the sukkah, the walls is a machlokas Rambam and the Rosh. Rambam says yes, the Rosh says no. Now what about the floor? Now the floor, he says, you never find anybody ever claiming that the floor itself gets any kind of Shem Shemayim, any kind of Kedusha. So that would give us like a clear indicated that the floor is not part of that real sukkah, and it's an abler, it's machshir, but it's not the cheftz of the mitzvah. It means if you could be in if you could float inside a sukkah, according to this, you would get a mitzvah.
Maybe sukkah on the water, and then we're in a boat under the sukkah.
Right, and you're not in some anywhere. If it's floating, it's okay. So good. So then he gets into this mitzvah haba avera discussion, because he wants to prove that the Rambam, in particular, has a very narrow definition of mitzvah haba avera, that the stolen mitzvah, which is possible for the thief, is only if he steals the real chefetz of the mitzvah. Like the Rambam says, if he steals a lulav, it's possible, or he stole a matzah, it's possible. But if he steals a shofar, he says it's kosher, because that's his very abstract, sensitive, and maybe very new idea that you're not doing the mitzvah with the shofar, you're doing the mitzvah with the sound of the shofar. And that was never stolen. Therefore, he says, even if the thief stole the shofar and then he blows it, he'll be yotzei the mitzvah no shoshan. He never stole the cheftza of the mitzvah, which is the sound which he's listening to. The shofar is enabling the sound. They don't care about stealing enablers, even though the shofar is very important. Clearly, we call it Kia shofar. We mentioned the shofar in the bracha, but it's not the chefetz of the mitzvah. So stealing it would not make it possible for the thief. That's what he says. The Rambam says yes.
So I'm just curious if it's at all relevant to the final pasuk. If like the first parak of Sukkot, in the first daf, there's a discussion also of shade, and if there's a certain valley where there's no light essentially. So without light, there's no shade. So they say theoretically, if you could remove the valley, the obstruction to the valley, the shade would be there. The light would be there. So is this mashpia on what we're talking about? Because the physical location versus the phenomenon of the shade is discussed.
Okay, it's, I understand what you're saying. It's a parallel. It's a parallel concept. Yeah, it's true. What?
Shofar Shmiya still works.
The mitzvah Shmiya.
Yeah.
I have a footnote there. If the mitzvah would have been to blow a shofar, not to hear it, but to blow it, then you would say the shofar is the chefs of the mitzvah, because I'm blowing the shofar. But the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, means to hear the sound of the shofar. Then the chefs is in the sound, but not in the shofar. Very funny point, that delicate point. If the mitzvah would be to blow a shofar, so if we make the bracha, al tekiya shofar, then I would say you're doing the mitzvah with the shofar, you're blowing the shofar. But if the mitzvah shmiya shofar, we make a bracha with shmoa kol shofar. So then the mitzvah is to hear sound, and the shofar enables us to get to the sound, but the shofar itself, not the chefetz of the mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah with the sound.
We say leishe b'sukkah.
Leishe b'sukkah, so the sukkah itself is the mitzvah. I do the mitzvah by sitting in that, in the sukkah. But I'm doing it with the sukkah, I'm sitting there.
So what's the final
psak? Okay, so now getting back to the question of the ground of the sukkah would clearly not be part of the sukkah because it doesn't get any kedusha whatsoever. So why? So then the Rav has a question. Why did the Gemara discuss stealing ground and maybe mitzvah ba'aveira? And it says, oh, kaka not nixelis. You can't really make the chefza stolen, so it's okay. But even if I could make the chefza stolen, but it's not the chefza of the mitzvah, it should be okay anyway. Maybe these are with
the kasha. And the Gemara uses the language of stealing a sukkah.
Sukkah, which is attached to the ground. So I don't know why the Rav overlooked that somehow. That's a very simple answer. He's stealing an attached sukkah, so stealing the real chefza of the mitzvah.
But the whole
it's attached to the ground. It's okay, so that's what the Gemara says. If being attached to the ground protects it from being really stolen, so then it'll be kosher, even though he stole the real sukkah, the schach and the walls, they're attached.
But even according to the opinion that karka,
Nixelis,
should still be a kosher.
If the sukkah were detached.
If the sukkah were detached.
Right, so I'm interpreting the Gemara that the sukkah is attached.
Okay.
So therefore karka and nixelis, an attached item is part of the karka. I think Moshe says many times, if you attach a building to the ground, it becomes part of the ground. It gets the status of ground. If it's detached, then no. But if it's attached, it is part of the ground.
The Rav's question is?
There's no question. If we talk about the sukkah, if you talk about the ground, he has a good question. Why would I care about the ground?
The sukkah is mechubar lekarka.
Right. So that's the answer to the question.
No, but if the Gemara is saying that karka is not
nixelis, it'll be kosher.
There is a question.
The Gemara says it'll be kosher because the sukkah itself is called karka in the Gemara. The Gemara says karka and nixelis, it means the land, the walls, and the schach.
Right.
All these things are ground.
So, what the Rav's question works then, because the question is saying, why does the Gemara ask?
No, I'm saying the Gemara is not focusing on the land. The Gemara is focusing on the walls and the schach. It causes karka because it's mechubar karka, but the Gemara is not talking about the ground itself. So these things are the real sukkah. So if they're really stolen, it should be pasul. The Gemara says, "Oh, karka nixelis, pasul. Karka ain't nixelis, kosher." What's it talking about? Not the land. It's talking about the sukkah, which is attached to the land.
Why wouldn't it be talking about the ground though? It's mechubar karka. Doesn't that equal karka?
You're right, in terms of nixelis and not nixelis, but if it would be nixelis, you could have the psul of mitzvah bar ba'avera, because you're not talking about stealing something which enables, you're talking about stealing the mitzvah itself, the walls and the schach. The Rav had a problem. If you're talking about the ground, it's a moot point. It's an irrelevant question if it's stolen or not, because ground is not the cheftz of the mitzvah. So the answer is, there's something attached to the ground, the walls and the schach, that is the cheftz of the mitzvah. Therefore, we have to have a discussion. If you stole it, did you make it possible? If karka nixalas, then that sukkah is possible.
How could the Gemara say that the sukkah is considered karka if we're understanding here that karka can be part of the mitzvah of sukkah?
Because it's attached to the karka.
Right, but karka is not part of the mitzvah of sukkah.
That means the land, but not the walls or schach which are attached to the land. Those are the real sukkah. You can have a sukkah which is karka, as long as you're talking about the walls which are attached to the ground, or the schach which is attached to the walls, attached to the ground. All of those attachments make your land sort of go into the building.
So that
means structure.
Does mechubar the karka equal karka?
Yes.
So then karka is part of the mitzvah sukkah in this case.
In this case.
So
that's
then
why
there is a case of karka being part of sukkah.
Right.
So the
not the land,
doesn't
not
that
the ground.
What we said before?
No, before we're talking about the ground without the structure. Now we're talking about the structure which is attached to the ground. Because before we're talking only about the ground itself without the structure. We forgot about the structure. So we had problems. So the Rav left us with a problem. Because if it's the ground itself, there shouldn't be a discussion about the mitzvah of Bavar. It's not the cheftz of the mitzvah that he left with a question. But what we're answering is that the Gemara, if you look at it, the Gemara never discussed someone just stole ground and then built his own sukkah on it. You're right, Rav. If it's just he stole ground, I don't have to worry about the mitzvah of Bavar. It's like a shofar. Ground is the same like a shofar. It's an enabler. So you stole it. It doesn't make any mitzvah of Bavar if you built your own sukkah. Just so happens the Gemara is not talking about that situation. Most says clearly, like the Rambam, Tokav Chavero Mitoch Sukkoso. He chased his friend out from the sukkah. The sukkah was not built by the Ganav. The Goslin stole that sukkah, which obviously was attached to the ground. Because the Gemara is discussing was it Nixelis or not Nixelis. So it must be that sukkah was attached to the ground. So fine. So now I'm dealing with the Cheftz of the Mitzvah. Could become puzzle, and it's attached to the ground. If nixelus, puzzle. If not nixelus, it's questionable.
Why isn't there a contradiction when you say that the sukkah, which equals karka, is part of the mitzvah? But earlier we said the point that we never see a place where it talks about the karka being part of the mitzvah.
Yeah, we're using the word karka, but in one case we're talking about, in one case the word karka means the ground.
It's like dirt.
In one case the word karka means anything which is called karka, halachically could be mechubar karka. It's also called karka.
Not related.
What?
They're not related.
No. The Gemara could have said mechubar karka when it said ain't an exalus or nixalus, but of course it's talking.
There's obviously no question there.
Then there's obviously no question, right?
I don't know.
I was there in the shiur, and I don't know why we just let it go by without jumping and saying that the Gemara is talking about a mechubar l'karka. And I don't even know why I never put it into a footnote. I have a different idea in the footnote how to solve the question, but I should have said this answer. This is a very simple answer to the question. The case of the Gemara was mechubar l'karka. Which is fine. Then it's to have. Then you solve the problem. Chubal karka is the cheftz of the mitzvah. And the chubal karka is karka, which is not nitzelus or nitzelus. So then it's fine. It's a good discussion in the Gemara. Yes.
How did you answer it in the footnote?
Footnote. I say I've come to a different answer. Look at the footnote. And okay, you're going back to just the land itself. Okay. Forget about the other tenets. So look at the footnote number 3. Tachin lomav. You could say like this. In the Ayin Lekam on Daf Test, the Gemara Meviyah Pasuk Meyuchad B'Sukkah L'cho L'hotei Sagzula. The Gemara on Daf Test says that it says Nechumish Chag HaSukkah is Tasa L'cho Shivas Yomim. Make for yourself a Chag of Sukkah. So the word L'cho is superfluous. So the Gemara says L'cho, the Sukkah has to belong to you. It should not be stolen. It's stolen sukkah is possible. Parch Shom the Tosfos. Tosfos asks, Lama Likra, how come you need a special pasuk? Take Ve Mishum Mitzvah Bar Bar Veira. We have a general rule. Anything stolen is a mitzvah Bar Bar Veira. You can't use it for lulav, you can't use it for matzah, tefillin. So why do we need a special pasuk by sukkah to teach? You think, why don't you have from a psukim by karbanos? That by karbanos it says, shouldn't use stolen things. So the Maha generalizes it to all mitzvahs. Don't use stolen things. But there's a special pasuk on Daf Tes, Lecha, Lehotis Hagzula, that a sukkah should not be stolen. So Tosfos wants to know, why do you have that special pasuk? Well, the Rambam, Yeshlomo, now we can say like this, according to the Rambam, we could say, the Gzeres HaKosuv, the Gozel, Pasul B'Sukkah, this special Gzeres HaKosuv, that something stolen is Pasul in the Sukkah, Bal, if so, Kol Dover HaGozel B'Sukkah, it means anything stolen for the mitzvah of Sukkah, Gam Dover HaMachshir Es HaMitzvah, something which is only enabling you to do the mitzvah, Afal Pishenu Etzem HaChefta Shal HaSukkah, even though it's not the real Chefta of the mitzvah of Sukkah, Hainu Kaka, that would be the ground. The Sukkah Gzula, Psula Lamanda Makaka Nixelas. If you steal the ground of a Sukkah and you say Kaka is stolen, it's possible. Afal Pisha Ain Hakaka Betsam Achefta Shala Sukkah. Even though the Kaka is not the real. Kum Domani Shapam Shamati Teratem Api, Merv Rabbi Moran Shlita Dvar Machon Chonimo. So I said that, I think I heard this from the Rav, that since a special Pasuk, Lacha, by Sukkah, Lahotei Sagzula, that's going to expand mitzvah Habar Baveira from the Cheftza of the mitzvah, which is the Svach in the walls, into any Machshir, into any enabler, including the ground. So fine, so now by Sukkah is a special din. Even enablers, by ground, has a problem of Gazel, and that's why the Gemara is discussing it.
That solves the issue.
Solves the issue, very nicely. But it doesn't really solve the issue, because continue. Vihine, Hashta the pasuk Rambam shekaka ain't a nixelus. The problem is that the Rambam paskins kaka is not stolen. So therefore, if you steal the kaka, it's kosher for the sukkah because kaka is not stolen. So then we're back to square one. Hadu kushel aduchta amaydin lecha tevei mishum mitzvah baveris. And what does this lecha do about? Kaka is never stolen, so I never get to first base in terms of saying, oh, there's a special din in sukkah, gzula, even a machshir. But kaka cannot be stolen. So I'll give a very good answer, a simple answer. If you talk in afgamina, the difference will be like this. Let's say a person steals a wagon. It's not kaka. He steals the wagon, and then he goes and builds his own sukkah on top of this wagon. In that case, the ground of that sukkah is stolen because wagons are movable. So he took the wagon, or he took someone's car or a van, he drove it away, stole it, and then he built a sukkah on top. So now what's stolen? The sukkah itself is his. He built it. What did he steal? The land. Now the land is only an enabler. It should be kosher, but there's exeris kosher, lecha, lehotzi sagzula, that even enablers, even a machshir, is possible for sukkah. So therefore, in this case, would be the, even according to the Rambam, who says kaka, not nixelis, that's kaka, which doesn't move, real land. But if you have just a movable base of a sukkah, like a back of a car or a truck, that would make it possible.
Who expands the slacha?
I did.
Hashem.
To explain the Rambam, how the Rambam would explain that Gemara, which the Rav left as a problem.
That's a good chiddush. It's a very important chiddush.
It's a nice chiddush. I thought it was very nice. I also think it's very elegant.
Solves a kasha.
Solves a kasha with a very elegant, nice explanation with a very good case. Guy stole a wagon. Then he built his own sukkah on the wagon. Is it possible for Gezel? According to the Rambam, who says a stolen chauffeur is kasha, here's a case of stolen base of... It's a movable... It can't really be stolen. That's really stolen. So according to this pshat, that lecha, lehotzi, sagzula, this special pasuk by sukkah, expands the psul beyond the chefts of the mitzvah to even a machshir, so now it's very good. The Gemara is discussing this special expanded rule of sukkah, gzula.
So another question, if I may. How do we define a machshir?
It's also a good question.
Because if we can define it expansively, then it's irrelevant if the land is movable or not.
you have an interesting point, but that's clear. The Gemara and the Rambam paskin that even if you've expanded it to a bigger area, this kind of din of gezula, which is pasul, but it has to be nixelus. It has to be really stolen. You can't just say the gavra did an aveir of gezula. The cheftza itself has to be guzzled. So if the land can't move around, that's not gezula. So
the
no matter what,
needs,
the
cheftza needs to be tangible machshir.
Has to be tangible and movable. Something which is actually moved out of the Rishur, so we can say it's a guzzle. That would be a wagon or a car, but it would not be real land.
So if I stole $1 million from you, and I didn't use the million, but I didn't use the principal, let's call it, but I made interest off the principal, and I used the interest for a mitzvah, did I get the mitzvah or not?
That's a machshir case, because it enabled you to buy the mitzvah. And if it's according to this theory that I have here in the footnote, if it would be a sukkah, maybe it would be possible. I don't know. Maybe
you can't have so many levels of machshir.
Right, that's
nothing that we ever do would be.
Because you know how far do you stretch this machshir concept? It's one thing to say I'm standing on the land, and this land is helping me sit in the sukkah, so it's a real machshir. But it's actually simultaneous with the mitzvah. Enabling, but
so I would say that even
stealing money a year ago enabled me to buy a sukkah today. I don't know. His point is, how far do you yourself ask the question, how far back do you trace this machshir in terms of if you want to expand it? And as I said, this the Rambam's general very narrow definition that it's only gezela, only the cheftz of the mitzvah. But there are Tosfos that's expanded in general. Mitzvah Barbaver can apply to a machshir. They would say a stolen shofar is possible, or things like that. So
they would say, regardless
stolen
of the fact
land
that it's
is possible.
Not, they say, so they, like the Tosfos, would say not like the Rambam.
Not like the Rambam. So they would go into a much more expanded concept. But this point that Ariel says is how far back or how distant can the machshir be for us to. That was stolen, so everything which comes out of it.
The whole point of the whole point is like we want to make a gzera, so no one should even think to use it as far back as we need to stop, so that no one will even think to use it.
I don't think this is a gzera. This idea that the gzera makes puzzle. The machshit, it looks like it's a din of the Torah according to Tosfos. It's not a din of a gzera. Then from the Torah.
Look,
against the Rambam has a very narrow chefta shel mitzvah concept, but according to the other Rishonim, I think the Rav was trying to limit it, these other Rishonim, by saying that the machshir should be at the same time you do the mitzvah. It shouldn't be removed by time. So if you're standing in the sukkah and you're doing the mitzvah with the walls and the schach, so the ground is helping you do it. So that would be a machshir, or some other things I forgot. Let's say you're eating a matzah, and that matzah happens to be not kosher, because it was baked with lard or bacon or something. So it's not kosher. So while you're eating the matzah, you're doing the aveira of the treif. So it's at the same time. But if you did an aveira last week, and that aveira last week helped you do a mitzvah this week, the Rav didn't think you would go that far back, even according to the Tosfos. You didn't think so. You have to be by the court of the Vasachas at the same time. But if you want to move it backwards and say, oh, he stole some money, and that helped him do mitzvahs, then you really don't know how far back you go.
With sufficient in rabbinic strength, if you have a rabbi who's strong enough to make a takana that people would follow, I would say that the machshir can go as far back as to prevent
okay,
them from,
right.
from,
that's
from
the
action.
That's the question of taking money from people for tzedakah or institutions, and you don't know how that money was kosher money was gained illicitly. What was his source of income? How did he make his money? Was he honest? Was he not? So. I met my grandfather, he used to collect money for his yeshiva, the Belzer Yeshiva. He would say, I'm only going to collect money from people keep Shabbos. If they don't keep Shabbos, I'm afraid they made the money by being machal Shabbos, and I don't want to have that kind of money. So he was saying that the machshir, the avera of chil Shabbos, which may have been done who knows when, shouldn't wind up doing a mitzvah building his yeshiva. But nowadays, a lot of people are taking money from all kinds of people. And there was this fellow who was the chairman of the financial or the board of YU, and he wound up in jail. I forgot his name, but whatever the name was.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of institutions that don't, as they say, check the tzitzis of the guy who's giving the money.
So as far back as
you
can be traced.
They don't. So obviously they're not accepting this idea that avera of a machshir taints the mitzvah.
Because at that point you can't trace it back. It's only as far as you could trace it, perhaps.
Maybe, you know. You have to. It's a challenge. When you're a rabbi and have an institution, you have to face this challenge and you know, come up with a policy.
But there's no question that if you're not in your sukkah and I just want to come in to make the bracha, I can do it. Just like
oh yeah, because the average person wants other people to do mitzvahs with his property, right? So it's not stealing, it's our problem. Okay, guys, I think we did a good job today in this piece. Okay, so we went through the whole thing, we reviewed it, and we basically... Question again, it's a very short review. Is the mitzvah the schach, Rashi and Rush? Is the mitzvah the schach plus the walls, the Rambam? Is the mitzvah the ground? Definitely not. What about silver for stealing? Should the only be in the thing which is the real mitzvah? The shofar is not a problem according to the Rambam, according to other Rishonim in this puzzle. And as far as the ground of the sukkah, should not be a problem of stealing it, but if it, the sukkah itself is attached to the ground and that is stolen, that would come up with a mitzvah of Bavari, if kaka nixelis. But since we say kaka not nixelis, it's kosher. But if it's if a wagon was stolen or a car was stolen, then he built his own sukkah on it. So in that case, maybe it'll be possible for the new Zeres HaKasav of Lecha, that there's an extra Zeres HaKasav by sukkah to expand it into the Machshir. That's basically the whole. So, okay, Yishikar.
And the Rav's question still applies. Why would the Gemara bring up a whole idea